Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Gail Martin and Carol Kelly. Each week, the ladies will bring you gardening and planting ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies and habitats, and great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Carol Kelly.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to my first segment of In the Green Outdoors for 2025. In April of 2017, both Gail Martin and I were invited to take turns presenting a new weekly nature and gardening series on WZMO. Today's episode marks my show number 203, so between the two of us, we have offered you over 400 episodes. We hope that you have enjoyed listening as much as we've enjoyed presenting them. And hopefully, we all will continue this relationship through the new year. So, let's start off this new year with some good news that came out of our Ohio legislature late in December. Yes, good news! They passed common sense legislation allowing individuals, organizations, and nonprofits, such as the Nature Conservancy and many other conservation groups, to collect and share native plant seeds with other like-minded persons and organizations. This will encourage groups as well as individuals to plant more native plant habitats to ensure that Ohio's natural spaces thrive, something that both Gail and I have been encouraging through these broadcasts over these last 8 years. As Mary Turosi, Director of Policy and Government Relations for the Nature Conservancy in Ohio, pointed out, once signed into law, this will have a significant impact on efforts throughout the state to remove invasive plants and replace them with plants native to Ohio, to provide more habitat to threatened insects, and even help individuals who want to create their own pollinator gardens. Expect us to bring up this topic of planting native species again in a few months, but now, after looking ahead at the weather forecast for the next few weeks, I want to shift gears and share some interesting information about how various life forms survive the winter. Most of us understand that mammals can enter into a stage of dormancy called hibernation when outdoor temperatures plummet. Many of us humans wish we could do the same, right? But other lower life forms enter a state called brumation. This is a natural ability that allows them to survive when food is scarce and temperatures are lower. Unlike mammals, which are endothermic or warm-blooded organisms, reptiles and amphibians are ectothermic, that is, cold-blooded animals. They cannot elevate their body temperatures independently of environmental conditions, but are faced with accepting external energy sources. Reptilian dormancy, or brumation, is different from mammalian hibernation because the metabolic processes are different. Similarly to mammals, though, reptiles usually begin their dormancy stage in the fall. However, they do not enter a state of sleep, as do mammals, but go into a state of suspended animation. That is, their metabolism slows down dramatically, but they don't go into the kind of deep sleep that mammals experience during hibernation. During winter brumation, reptiles and amphibians periodically may become more active as temperatures rise and their ability to move around becomes possible again. Here in Ohio, a January thaw is not unusual. When this occurs, an awakened reptile will consume water but will not eat. Some reptiles and amphibians may go through a whole winter without eating, and so, like mammals, these animals also must build up fat stores before entering their dormancy stage in order to survive that period. Some researchers believe that brumation may explain why reptiles tend to have a longer lifespan than that of mammals. These long periods of inactivity may reduce the daily wear and tear, and so, in part, brumation may also explain why reptiles and amphibians are one of the most successful classes of animals that ever have lived on Earth. Are you listening, you spouses of couch potatoes? Your mate isn't lazy, but simply brumating. Incredibly, there are some life forms that survive simply by allowing themselves to freeze solid. That's how some water-dwelling creatures in Ohio's ponds and streams survive the winter. We humans can get cozy within our flannel and wool clothes and blankets, but imagine living beneath the ice of a freezing stream or pond all winter. Consider the pond-dwelling macroinvertebrates. These include aquatic insects, such as mayflies, stoneflies, caddisflies, midges, and beetles, as well as worms, snails, freshwater clams, mussels, and crayfish. Creatures that in their nymph and larval stages spend at least part of their lives in water. These insects and crustaceans play a large role in freshwater ecosystems by recycling nutrients as well as providing food to higher trophic levels. A trophic level is a scientific term signifying the position of an organism in the food chain. These have evolved to adapt to winter's harsh conditions by burrowing into the silt between rocks. Perhaps surprisingly, water is an amazing insulator that resists changes in temperature. Although streams often do, of course, freeze over, typically the ice is only a few inches thick, and that provides even more insulation. Some macroinvertebrates, such as the winter stoneflies, will emerge as adults during the winter months. These insects can be seen moving about above ground due to their tolerance for freezing weather. In fact, they produce their own antifreeze compounds. Thousands of insect larvae endure freezing and thawing, and some go back and forth every day depending on the weather. But there are some other animals, not just the small macroinvertebrates that we often overlook, that actually do freeze solid in winter. To survive until spring, many species find surprising ways to stop their bodily functions. They may have antifreeze proteins, sugar-packed cells, or even the ability to shut down their brains. With that last statement, I can just imagine what some of you are thinking. Most frogs survive northern winters by hibernating deep underwater in ponds, lakes, and streams. They are cold and dormant, but their body temperature never falls below freezing. However, the wood frogs that inhabit the boreal forests of Alaska and Canada don't live in ponds and have a different means of survival. Winter there brings some of the Earth's coldest temperatures, as low as minus 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Now remember, all reptiles and amphibians are cold-blooded, so their body temperature pretty much matches the surrounding air. So how do these delicate little wood frogs endure the intense subarctic winter? Well, they hibernate by nestling down into the leafy litter on the forest floor. The leaves, duff, and overlying snow give some insulation from extreme cold, but there, the frogs are not protected from sub-freezing temperatures as they would be if they chose the underwater strategy. Wood frogs have evolved ways to freeze solid for up to 8 months a year. They have accomplished what would seem to be a biological miracle. How does it work? Well, as winter sets in, ice quickly fills the wood frog's abdominal cavity and encases the internal organs. Ice crystals form between layers of skin and muscle. The eyes turn white because the lenses freeze. So the wood frog's body allows ice to form around the outsides of cells and organs, and yet it also prevents ice from forming inside the cells, thus avoiding the lethal damage suffered by most animals when they freeze. At the same time, the wood frog's liver produces large amounts of glucose that flows into every cell in its body, and thereby keeps it from freezing during those extreme Arctic winter temperatures. This is the same as the blood sugar present in all vertebrate animals, including humans. Hibernating wood frogs, though, can tolerate blood sugar levels 100 times higher than normal without the damage suffered by human diabetics when their blood sugar is only 2 to 10 times above normal. Understanding how frogs can do this might provide valuable knowledge to help in the management of high blood sugar in people with diabetes. The wood frog's ability to withstand freezing also may help researchers discover how human organs used for transplants could be frozen and thawed without damage. This would increase the time allowed between removing an organ from a donor and implanting it within a recipient, which could make many more transplants possible. Researchers also are interested in how the wood frog's body can stop blood circulation and then start it again many months later without blood clots or other injuries. Understanding this could be valuable for treating people after their blood flow is temporarily halted by heart attack or stroke. A hibernating wood frog has no muscle movement whatsoever, no heartbeat, no breathing. For the entire winter, the wood frog is like a lump of hard, frigid, icy stone carved in the shape of a frog. But it's alive, just in a state of suspended animation. The wood frog is completely undamaged by conditions that would be fatal to nearly all other animals. In spring, the wood frog thaws from the inside outward. First, the heart starts beating. Nobody yet understands what restarts the wood frog's heart after being frozen and inert for the entire northern winter. But once the heartbeat resumes, the brain activates. Finally, the legs move. This amazing strategy allows wood frogs to become active in very early spring because land thaws and warms more quickly than does ice-covered lakes. Once the frog is fully thawed, it goes forth through the woods to find a breeding pond or other suitable water. By getting started early, wood frogs can mate and lay eggs in small ponds and even in vernal pools that dry up in midsummer. By contrast, frogs that hibernate underwater take longer to become active, so they breed later and also require water habitat that remains present all summer. Painted turtle hatchlings also can survive being frozen, again thanks to a natural antifreeze in their bodies. Eastern box turtles, however, a woodland species, neither freeze solid nor hibernate. Like many other reptiles, they utilize brumation to get through the winter, burrowing into soft soil and entering into a period of sluggishness, inactivity, and torpor. Iguanas also enter this state of brumation when temperatures drop. They live in more temperate climates, where freezing weather is rare, but when temperatures do fall, the reptiles slow down considerably, conserving energy. Alligators will brumate on the bottom of a cold but unfrozen bayou or swamp and resurface once a day just to breathe. But when temperatures drop below freezing, the water around them solidifies and suspends them in a giant pond-shaped ice cube. When this happens, alligators will leave just the tips of their snouts above the surface in a procedure known as snorkeling, with only their nostrils visible and the rest of the gator is under the ice. Snakes, like these other reptiles, stop eating as the temperature drops. Their metabolism slows down, and they look for an underground place to hide from fluctuating surface temperatures. On particularly warm winter days, however, like the other reptiles I mentioned, they are known to leave their shelters to bask in the sun. There are other smaller creatures that endure winter by freezing solid. Most everyone is familiar with woolly bears, the supposedly prognosticating fuzzy brown, black, or banded caterpillars of Isabella moths. You see them in autumn, scurrying to find a sheltered location under dead plant debris and so on, where they will spend the winter as larvae. In the spring, they will feed briefly before wrapping up as a cocoon and eventually emerge as a rather pretty moth. The rhinoceros beetle of Siberia can survive freezing temperatures for years, reviving once conditions are right. Darkling beetles in Alaska share this trait, again due to the presence of a sugar-based antifreeze in their system. Tardigrades, also known as water bears or moss piglets, are a phylum of eight-legged, segmented, microscopic animals. They can be found almost anywhere on Earth, from the top of the Himalayas to the bottom of the sea, from icy Antarctica to bubbling hot springs. In fact, tardigrades are known to have survived temperatures of negative 272.95 degrees Celsius. That is minus 459.31 degrees Fahrenheit. And they can withstand temperatures up to a sweltering 304 degrees Fahrenheit. Tardigrades need only a drop of water to thrive, and they have a lifespan of anywhere from a few months to 2.5 years. But below freezing, but favorable to them conditions, tardigrades can enter a state of cryptobiosis, where their metabolism shuts down. In this state, they can survive for years or even decades. Are you shivering after hearing about all that cold? Well, according to the long-range forecast, as we move farther into January, temperatures are going to be plummeting to single digits overnight for a number of nights very soon. While we cannot endure the way frogs and tardigrades do, this is Carol Kelly saying, bundle up, go out, and brave the cold, because even in winter, there's a lot to see and to enjoy out in the green outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it to WZMO@roadrunner.com. Thank you for listening.